You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510. And also we're on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're also heard on the World Wide Web every Monday. Miss Ellen, take it away.
Yes, we are. We're on the World Wide Web under SitaMediaInc.com. And you can find all of the on-demand shows right there, as well as on 1510wwbc.com. You can actually listen live. Just hit the on-demand button when you get to that website.
You know, someone texted me this morning and said we should give out the phone number to our station sometimes so they can call in if they want to. And I told them they could send us an email. They could send me an email.
Through Facebook.
Right.
Actually, because I'm here on Facebook.
Facebook Messenger.
Any messenger, yep.
Or my email is sitamedia@AOL.com.
Correct.
I still use my AOL. And you know what? I'm happy with it.
I know. I think it dates us. I've talked to a few millennials, and they say that AOL dates you. We know how old you are when you've got an AOL
address.
I tried
to tell somebody the other day that I still use AOL, and the person said, what? What is that? I tried to explain it to them, and they're like, you lost me. I have no idea. The person is in their early 20s.
Yeah, exactly.
They have no idea, right? Exactly. But anyways, for our guests who are tuning in, Ellen and I are here every Monday. We consider this studio part of our living room, an extension of our homes, where we sit down with guests and we talk about kitchen table topics or things that are going around in Brevard County, around the state, and yes, around the nation as well. And so we just want to thank all our sponsors for making Sita and Friends so valuable to the people in Brevard County, the people who listen. Our show is very unscripted. It's very informative, and we do give out very valuable information. And I know Ellen is always on key to put whatever people tell us about public service messages on our website.
That's right.
Things that are happening, events and things like that. And we try to help out the community as well. And our sponsors.
Yes. So on the CDMMediaInc.com page, you'll find all of the sponsors' information on there, as well as the MP3s of the commercials that Paul so wonderfully recorded for us.
Yeah, thanks to Paul.
Thank
we have
so
all
much.
Our shows backed up.
He's got that FM radio voice.
Yeah, he
makes
does.
It sound good.
He does. Well, you know, today we have in studio with us our very good friend, Keith G, and he's with the Children's Hunger Project. He is the executive director. Welcome, Keith.
Thank you so much.
We
great
love
to be
your
here.
Shirt, the color Thank of his shirt, you. And the logo that says the Children's Hunger Project. And I just want people to know what they're doing in Brevard County is just great. We do have so many people in our county who are homeless, and we have a lot of children who do go to bed hungry at night, right? Thank you
yeah,
for what you do.
Sadly, but it's true. It's amazing to me. And we just launched a rocket from our backyard this morning, and we can't feed our kids. And
yes.
There's something wrong with
there's
that.
There's something wrong when you could launch a rocket into space and the children are going to bed hungry at night.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And Miss Ellen, of course, our call-in guest today is a friend of the show that's called in before. Her name is Kimberly Johnson, and she's calling in. She is an author, and she's an activist. She also has her own podcast, and she's calling in today. I forgot to ask her where she's calling in from, but Kimberly, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Which state are you in today?
I'm in D.C.
Okay, good. Oh, we love your voice. You're coming across really clear and robust, which is what we need
this
morning. So we have Keith G. with us. He is with the Children's Hunger Project here in Brevard County, Florida. He's the executive director, and then it's Ellen and myself, and it's you. So you have the first segment, so we want to say welcome. And if you could just reintroduce yourself to our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, as you said, I have a podcast. It's called Start Me Up. I'm actually going to record that podcast as soon as we're finished with this one. I've written four books. Two of those books were actually compilations. And the first one was called The Virgin Diaries, and my mom and I worked on that together, where we collected stories from people who explained what it was like to have first-time sex. And then I wrote a book called American Woman, The Pole Dance, Women in Voting. And then the last book I wrote was a fiction for young people called Peyton's Choice, and it's about a young girl, a 17-year-old girl who gets pregnant and chooses to have an abortion. And so I explore, it's not just about abortion, she has like a first-time romance and love and all that, but she gets pregnant and doesn't want to be, so she chooses abortion. And then, like I said, my podcast is called Start Me Up, and, you know, and I'm an activist, and I have a big mouth on social media.
Yes! And you also write for the Huffington Post. Are you still writing for the Huffington Post?
I haven't for a while. I'm basically a former contributor. Some things changed. I don't know if you remember back in October of 2018, there was a purge on Facebook of a number of Facebook pages. Mine was one of them. And because of that, they were political pages. Because of that purge, there were like more than 800 pages that were completely deleted and gone. A lot of sites like Huffington Post and Salon, and they don't have as many writers. And plus, Huffington Post got rid of their blog, which is what I did. So I haven't written for them for a while, but I used to.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I remember when you were off Facebook for a while, I was so upset because I'd gotten used. I was like, where? And, you know, my daughters were on Facebook one day, and they found you. And then they called me, and they're like, Mom, you are going to love this woman, Kimberly Johnson. So I sent you a friend request, but you had so many friend requests that I guess it took me a while to get on your page. And I absolutely loved your voice because you are such a moderate. I mean, you write things that are not too far left and not too far right. You're just right there where I think most Americans are. And you've been trying to steer a lot of people in sort of the right direction, like what they should be doing right now. And I love you for it because we need that right now. We need people who can say, hey, wait a minute, let's think about this. And you do that for us.
Well, thank you. And I just want to be clear, you know, I am a progressive person, but I also recognize that we share the country. I mean, I have progressive values.
Yes.
But I recognize that we all have to share this country. And, you know, I hear the term centrist Democrat, and I do understand what it means when people say that. But in a way, I consider myself a centrist because I recognize, even though I have very progressive values, I recognize if we are unable to convince Republicans to go our way, we're going to have to find some kind of a compromise. And the Democratic Party is a big tent party. And so in order to get to where I would like to go, which is very progressive values, I understand that in most cases it's incremental. And you can't expect people to just embrace change because people are afraid of change. So slow change is really the way to go.
Right. Well, and you know, at the end of the day, or even when people lay their heads to go to sleep, no one is guaranteed they're going to wake up the next day, right? So all of us collectively, I think we want the same thing. We all want to be appreciated, to be loved,
yes,
to be wanted, to be part of a functioning society. And as human beings, share this experience on this earthly journey that we all call life. So I think it's just the different people think different ways. And it's,
yes,
up to us who have that spiritual feeling where we could reach out to other people and say, hey, wait a minute, let's talk about this. Because what, yep, we're seeing now is people are so far left and far right that nobody wants to actually reach out and talk to the other person.
Yeah.
Although we know that communication is the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we are in a situation right now where we're getting, you know, I mean, Steve Bannon had said that he wants to fill the news cycle with SHUT.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. I mean, you know, there was a rumor out the other day that Hillary Clinton was considering Bloomberg was considering Hillary Clinton as a VP. That story originated with the Drudge Report, which is a toxic right-wing website, and they're doing that just to stir people up. Hillary Clinton is not going to be anybody's vice president. Give me a break. And I saw so many Democrats sharing that and discussing it, and I want people to understand that just because you see it online doesn't make it true. Please, people, be smart and find out the sources. If the source is something like News Thud or the Drudge Report or even Fox News, be skeptical. And the other thing that I saw from this is some people were saying, that's right, don't trust anything. No, that's exactly what, Vladimir Putin would love for Americans not to trust their news media. The GOP would be happy for Americans not to trust the news media. It's not that we can't distrust everything. We just have to be cautious, and we have to be sensible, and we have to understand that, when it's coming from the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Daily Beast or a number, even the Wall Street Journal, which is a conservative site, outside of the opinion page, those are trusted, verified sources. So you have to make sure you understand where this news is coming from before you make an automatic knee-jerk reaction to it.
Right.
And that's something that is upsetting to me, that I see still too many Democrats are falling for...
Not just Democrats, Republicans too, and independents. People need to pay attention. Because, my father used to tell us that all the time, that... you have to consider the source when you are taking things into your brain. This is, one of the areas where my parents were very good about who we associated with, because my father was one that says, when you hear something from a person and you're a child or you're a teenager, it tends to stick in your brain. So you need to know who is telling you or your children what at any given time. Consider the source, right? So, of course, we're all watching what's going on politically, and there's so many candidates, and we see the candidates are dropping out of the races, and people are suspending their campaigns. But Kimberly, tell us, tell our listening audience here on Viewpoint with Sane and Friends, what do you think people are looking for in a candidate right now?
Well, to be honest, and I don't know if I'm going to say her name correctly, but there's a woman named Rachel, and it's either Bitecoffer or Bitcoffer, and I think that, she had predicted the 2018 election in that she thought there would be 42 seats won by Democrats, and there were 41. And her whole take on this is, right now, specifically, it's about party. It's not necessarily about individual ideology. It's about party. And I'm going to go along with that, because if you take a look at the elections ever since Trump was, and I say installed in office, 2017, 18, and 19, all of them were either blue waves or blue tsunamis, and they were all because of Trump, whether they voted for or against. And basically, we can see that it was against, because unfortunately, at the time in 2018, there were not a lot of flippable seats in the Senate, but there were a lot of flippable seats in the House, and we flipped them. We flipped them to the point that we turned Virginia blue, and because we did, Virginia just was the very last needed state, the 38th state, to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. So I think that people, what they want is they want Trump defeated, but I think that they, are voting on a value system as opposed to an individual ideology, where, there are people out there freaking out about Bernie Sanders, and there's people out freaking out about Bloomberg, and they're freaking out about Warren. And I honestly, every single poll shows us that every Democrat beats Trump. I think we just have to stop worrying about, because you know what, I'm just going to say, Bernie Sanders is not my candidate. He was in 2016, and I voted for him in the primary. Ever since that time, the things that I've learned about him, and there's been information that has caused me to feel concerned and to question him. But if he's the nominee, he has my vote. And it's also going to depend on who he chooses for the vice president. I think that a lot of people, once we get our nominee, there's going to be some exceptions, but I think the bottom line is we want to defeat Trump and Trumpism. And so, yes, we want affordable health care. We always want the same things. We always want
It bothers me. When I speak to my friends who are either Democrats or Republicans or independents, and I have a lot of friends on both sides, and they're very nice people. They work hard. They pay their taxes just like me. And we talk. We don't yell at each other. We talk about issues. Most Americans, no matter what label they have behind their name, they do want an end to homelessness.
Yes.
They do want to feed starving children. They do want healthcare reforms. But, people have concerns when it comes to taxation. And they feel like Bernie Sanders wants to give away too much for free. You want to increase people's wages. You want to give them free health care. You want to, do something about interest rates and college. And so people are scared because, you know, how do you tell a person who's working in a gas station 18 hours a day and sending his wife to pick their kids up from school, they're sitting in the gas stations doing homework and then get into med school, although they went to public schools. How do you tell that person, well, here, you're going to have to give more money to this person who didn't work as hard with their homework and got into school? So people are worried about Bernie Sanders and his what he's saying.
But at the same time,
you have to listen to the folks who are scared. And they said the words free and the word socialism is going to, you know, damage people when they vote or the United States.
That's because people don't truly understand how it's going to work. I think, you know, Elizabeth Warren has done a fantastic job of offering tangible plans to make these things work, where you take anybody who earns or has more than $50 million, you would tax them 2 cents on the dollar after $50 million to pay for a number of programs that she's talking about. Now, what she does that's different than Bernie is she offers a detailed plan.
And that sounds fair, what she's saying.
Well, right. And the thing is that, unfortunately, Bernie's not very good at giving those kinds of detailed plans. And when he was asked about Medicare for All, he said he didn't know how he was going to pay for it. Elizabeth Warren did. And here's the thing that people miss. Of course we're going to have to pay more taxes. But we have people out there right now that are paying $400, $500, $600, $700, $1,000 for their premiums. And then sometimes they have to pay towards a copay, or they have to pay for medicine. In a Medicare for All situation, you no longer have any out-of-pocket medical expenses. You have higher taxes. So let's say you pay $1,000 a month in premiums for your insurance company. Under a Medicare for All, that might be dropped down to $400 more in taxes, so you, the taxpayer, saves $600. Now, I'm just pulling that out of nowhere to make a point.
Yes.
I'm not saying this is a plan, but the thing is it's not going to happen by shutting everything down and shutting Obamacare down and then, boom, Medicare for All. I do like what Elizabeth Warren is saying, because she's saying that initially for the first 3 years, you get a choice. You can choose your insurance, or you can choose to do the public option. And I guarantee you, because even Joe Biden and Amy Klobuchar, they're all for the public option. I think that's a wonderful idea, because what it does is it doesn't make people feel like they're forced to do anything. They can choose it. And if you go for the public option, you're going to tell your friend, hey, this is freaking awesome. I've gone to the doctor, and I didn't have to pay anything. And people will go over on their own.
Well, you know,
it's going to take time.
Well, you know,
I don't think the answer is to shut down the insurance companies. And frankly, that's never going to happen, because Congress will never, including a Democratic Congress, Congress will never vote for that. I wish people would not be afraid of it, because it's not going to happen. It's a talking point.
Well, you know, Kim, Kimberly, one of the things that Ellen and I have talked about, and all of us have talked about on this show and with other friends of ours, the public option, I think the Democrats misses the point to have their message properly. Because I'm in healthcare. My husband's in healthcare. All of our friends are in healthcare. The public option offers people so much more than they know. I mean, if I'm 55 and I work and I like the insurance that my employer gives to us, it's great. I love it, right? But if I want to retire, which I can retire if I want, and I want to buy into Medicare, that's my right. I should have that choice.
Yeah.
And so
right, exactly.
I think people want a choice. America was built on choice, and nobody wants...
That's what it's going to come down to. You know, I mean, let's just go with Elizabeth Warren for a second and say that's kind of what she's offering. That's what Biden's offering. That's what a lot of the Democrats are offering. And no matter what, even if Bernie Sanders wins, even if he becomes our president, I guarantee you, he can't just wave a wand and say, okay, we're just going to have Medicare for All. He can't. It has to be voted on. And Congress, like I said, is never, I mean, look, we had Barack Obama try to put a public option in 10 years ago, and it didn't work because of Democrats. They didn't even want to do it. Now that we've had time to see how Obamacare works, and we've had time to think about this and get used to it, now everybody's ready for a public option. So
I know I am. I know I am, and I know a lot of my friends are working just for health insurance. Because I personally went and it's like $600 a month just for me for medical, dental, and vision with another carrier. So I said, you know, I'm going back to work. But my employer, it cost me less than $200 a month. Why wouldn't I, you know?
But the point is, people have to realize, like I said, if Bernie Sanders becomes the president of the United States, I guarantee you right now, we are not jumping into a Medicare for all. Because he would need to, A, write it all out and have his plan done, and then Congress has to vote on it and approve it. And that will never happen.
How do you tell his angry followers that, though? Because they are so angry on Facebook. And, I mean, I seriously had to delete a couple of people for talking what I consider real nonsense. They're not paying attention to the truth. The truth is, that's not going to be implemented overnight. And people need to start paying attention to the public option, to expanding Medicaid, to covering our children, making sure our children have health care and food and an education, making sure we have a clean environment. There's so much more to what's happening politically right now. But how do you think we would heal this divided nation right now? What needs to happen when people come together? Like after 9/11, everybody came together. But why does it have to take a tragedy for people to come together and say, I love this country and I love being an American, you know?
Oh, I think because people, we love to say that we don't repeat history, but we constantly repeat history. We never learn. Sometimes we learn, but most of the times we don't. People get comfortable and then you have new generations and they don't know. You know, I like this. I always tell this story, like every single baby is going to have to touch a hot surface in order to learn not to touch a hot surface. So you can tell the baby all day long, don't touch that, it's hot and you're going to burn yourself. But until that person gets burned, then they go, oh, then they see it. So, you know, each new generation that comes up, they don't have the experience of, you know, like my grandmother was born in the recession, so she had a certain perspective and worldview. Well, that was different from the kind of perspective and worldview that I have because I didn't have her experiences. I mean, I like to think I like to believe that I'm fair, and I like to believe that I'm rational and I can look at a situation. But you know, how do we heal? I think the way we do that is it would be great to have a good leader help us along and guide us through. But I think that we should not be pinning all of our hopes on one person, because that sets us up. I mean, look what happened when everybody was, you know, assuming Mueller was going to save the world. It just doesn't happen like that. We're the ones who have to save ourselves. So hopefully we will get our collective crap together, and then in 2020 we will vote for the Democrats. We will have a blue tsunami, a blue flood, and then it is up to Congress to do things like securing our elections to make sure that, you know, they can't be tampered with, whether it's from foreign adversaries or, you know, people in our own country. We should go to straight up paper ballots. And, you know, there are a number of things that we're going to have to do. One of the things, though, that has to be addressed, and I don't exactly know how to get rid of it, but as long as we have Fox News, as long as we have a cable news network that is lying to the public, we're always going to have a stark divide. And an internet that allows for, you know, like with Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg is allowing politicians to lie. And who does it? It's the Republicans and it's Trump. So as long as we have an internet that allows politicians to lie and allows for a flood of misinformation, and we have Fox News and we have that kind of mentality, we're going to have problems.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, I think it happens to Kimberly, even on CNN and MSNBC sometimes, we see political pundits and we want to throw something at them.
Yeah,
you know, it's not just Fox News. I think it's people
no,
have to be
lie. There's a difference though.
Well, why?
Fox
but
News
why do you think?
Lies.
But why do you think people there's so much lying and they still have people sponsoring those shows?
Because I think the main reason is, you know, there are a lot of people in this country that are either racist, sexist, or angry, and Fox News knows how to play into that anger. There are people in my family and people that I know that I understand their personal psychology, and I can see how Fox feeds into that. Maybe your uncle is pissed off at somebody in his life that he feels that he can't express that, and he has inside rage, and then Fox tells him, you know, liberals are the ones to be angry at, and then he goes, okay, and it sounds simplistic, but that's basically what it is. It feeds into their anger, and if they're racist, and if they're homophobic, and if they're sexist, they're getting validated there. And so Unfortunately, that's money, and that's why they have sponsors.
Well, you know, that reminds me of someone in our village back in Trinidad and Tobago when I went to visit. She said, do not bring your American ideas to this village because we don't support gay people. We don't support same-sex marriage. You know, you could take your kooky American ideas with your bars and people drinking and children living out of wedlock and having children. Don't bring those ideas to our village. And then it turned out her son was gay. And I was like, well, how's that working out for you now? So, you know, they tend to slam others for their views until it hits people in their own homes. And then they have to reevaluate. But, I mean, I do know of people who are fearful of minorities. They're fearful of poor people. They're fearful of people when they come to work in their houses. And it, and you're right, it does, people do play. But not everyone is like that. So with the last minute we have left, what words of wisdom would you give to someone who is like that and who is racist and who divides? What do you think we should do to those people in a minute or two? Tell us, how can we reach them?
Well, it's really tough because some people are just stuck in and you can never convince them. I think the way to get over that is to bring the fairness doctrine back into play, whereas if you have one side giving, you know, an opinion or, you know, one side, you have to have the other. We don't have that anymore. Fox News is an entertainment network. It is not a news network, so it is allowed to lie. So I think that what we have to do is switch. We have to switch our society, and we have to change what our messaging is, and that's a big, big, big lift. The other thing we have to do, and I know I have to go, but is we have to bring civics back into the classroom, because children are not understanding how government works, and if they are taught how government works, they're going to be more inclined to become politically engaged as young people.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
Well, I always add this to everything, and I know you agree with me. I always say promote comprehensive sex education at appropriate ages, as well as academic, trade, and something else, so that people who use their reproductive organs to bring children into this world, they are thinking twice about who is going to feed it, who is going to clothe it, who is going to educate it. And I know Keith is going to be talking the second segment about children who go to bed hungry. So, you know, it's like we all have to sit down and figure out enough with the people who are mean and nasty and divisive and spreading fear. We have to look around at our sisters and brothers, our neighbors, our family, and ask people the truth. How are you hurting? Can you pay your bills? Who's tending to your children? Who's helping you babysit? How are you paying your mortgage, your rent? Do you know somebody who's homeless? If people start asking those questions and actually show they care, I think we can have a decent world, because we can try to help people in the right way.
I agree. I totally agree.
Ellen, you take it away from there. That's why I love you, because, you know, you make people think and you're fair. And, you know, something happens to us ladies when we turn 50. We start saying, hey, listen, you know, like, listen, people, we know this world. We're moms. We're ladies. We're born with this thing. We know how to care, and how we can call out a liar and a cheat and a racist in one sentence. I mean, they can say one sentence, and I can say, listen, stop it. Go ask. Like, it's like somebody says to me the other day, oh, I have great health care. I'm a veteran. And I said, "You do you have cousins? Yeah. Do you have neighbors? Yeah. Do you have sisters and brothers? I said, do they have great health care? And he said, I don't really care. I said, well, you know what? You just answered me right where I was going. You don't care because you have yours. What about somebody else?
And we'll never get to the truth if we keep letting emotions take over. So, you know, my favorite saying is, when emotions are high, intelligence is super low. So we really need to focus on that. Kimberly Johnson, thank you so much for joining us today on Viewpoint with CDN Friends. We're going to listen to a few spots from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Keith Gee with Children's Hunger Project.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we're very grateful that our friend Kimberly Johnson called in from D.C. Is that what she said she called in from?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And she, you know, she has her own podcast and she's got a lot of followers as well.
Yes. And she's an author as well. So yes. You have to check out her books. I think the last time she was on the show, she spent a little bit more time talking about the books that she wrote.
Yes. Well, you know, this time I just wanted her to talk a little bit about how she's thinking, because she's been trying to bring reason and calm to her Facebook posts and so that people would read them and understand that, you know, the public option is something we need to look into.
Sure.
And I am. I like that. I like that idea. Choice in healthcare. Mm-hmm. I do want a choice.
That's the whole thing. We haven't had a whole lot of options lately that give anybody peace.
Well, you know, people are complaining so much about health insurance and the industry, but the truth of the matter is everyone who's working has an option to have health care. And if you make under a certain amount, you can qualify for Medicaid. I believe there's only a certain percentage of people that don't have insurance. And those are the people we want to help.
And when there's insurance companies posting profits like $60 billion a year, that's a problem.
That is.
That's a problem. And we have children that are not eating, but we're sending up rockets. That's a problem.
Yeah, you just stole Keith G's line.
I know, right?
So for our second segment, we have the executive director of the Children's Hunger Project, and Keith G is here. So Keith, thank you for sitting and listening to the ladies chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Glad to be here.
Yes. So we've been following you on Facebook and all the wonderful things that the Children's Hunger Project is doing. You just had a big event. And you wanted to share with our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about that event and how it went.
Yeah, so we just had our Love a Kid luncheon, and this this was our second year of having this event. And a couple of years ago, our board decided that they want to end childhood hunger in Brevard County. And we don't know what that looks like. We don't know how to get there, but we started working back from that. And one of the things that we know we need is money. So we wanted to develop an event that was able to be repeated every year and that would put us on the financial trajectory to end childhood hunger here in Brevard County. So last year we had our first Love a Kid luncheon. It was our biggest fundraiser we've ever had in 10 years. And this year we actually exceeded that goal, raising even more money. And so we talk about, we're serving 2,300 kids every week at elementary schools, but there's about 1,000 or more kids on the waiting list. And the board this week is going to be talking about taking the money from this hugely successful event and serving another 500 kids and just really in the next couple of years working to eliminate that waiting list.
You know, that's one of the nice things about the people in Brevard. They're so generous.
They are. It is the best place in the world.
It is. It is the best place in the world to live. I mean, I feel so safe in Brevard, and I think most people here, they do care about each other. But, you know, we're watching, you know, we were talking earlier about charities, and we've seen in the news recently, a lot of people are trying to figure out which charities they should give to. How does one know which charity or which nonprofit to donate to?
Yeah, that's a problem. There's a lot of charities in Brevard County, too many in my opinion, and it creates a lot of donor confusion and a lot of donor fatigue.
Yes.
And so my recommendation and what I do with my charitable giving is I first follow my heart. I find a mission that speaks to my heart. If it's veterans, if it's animals, if it's kids, if it's seniors, if it's
passion, motorcycle
about. Riders, whatever, whatever it is. Find your passion, follow your heart, and then I would suggest get involved with that organization and, you know, just volunteer an hour a week or something, and that way you can kind of see the inner workings of
what they're doing.
Of what they're doing, and you also get to see where their mission is going, if it's going to what they say it's going to, and you can also hear some stories about the people that they're touching and the lives that they're changing through that. You know, obviously I would say do your research, but that's really difficult. I don't do a good job of that when I give. And maybe it's because I know the organizations that I want to support, but you know, I think you can go on GuideStar.org and look at an organization's 990s and just see what percentage of their budget is going toward staff salaries, what percentage is going toward programs and services. And you can get a better idea of how they're managed financially.
Ellen and I were talking about that earlier when we were talking about there's so many nonprofits. And it's almost like if somebody thinks of an idea and instead of doing exactly what you said, if you think you love monkeys, you Google monkeys and you see who has got a group of monkeys and they're trying to save them. And you go and you give them your idea. There's no reason that you should go open your own nonprofit to save the monkeys when there's already one.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And so people want to do this for, I don't understand why they do, because you'll go and you'll see 15 for the veterans. Okay, well, guess what? There was already one person in town doing that for the veterans. What makes your idea so much different than what they had?
And if those 15 veteran organizations could come together, coalesce around their mission, combine their resources, they would serve more veterans and they would do it more effectively and efficiently. But I, honestly, and this pains me to say it because I've been in nonprofit work my entire career for 30 years, but it's ego. It's, I want to do a little differently than you do. I want to put a different little spin on things, but again, we're dividing up our donor resources. We're confusing
and the
our
labor,
donors,
which is so important. The volunteers. It reminds me of the Hindu temples, right? You go to New York, and there's so many temples. It's like, dude, can't you just pray to Lord Krishna in this one? I mean, I walked in New York at in a place called Lefferts, where my brother lives. Last train stop, I said to my brother, how many temples do you need with the same people in it? And he says, well, this guy thinks he could do a better job at being a priest, so he has one. And then this one thinks he can pray differently and he has different hours. So I don't know if it's about accommodation for people, or maybe people want everything easy handed to them, or maybe it's, you know, it's like Amazon. They just want it to be an easy fix.
For me, I got into nonprofit work very early on, and I did it because I wanted to make an impact, and I wanted to I wanted my efforts to positively impact other people. And that is my driving mission to today. Like, and it's never changed. It's not about me. It's not about anything that I have. It's about making these people's lives better. If it's the monkeys, let's make the monkeys' lives
better. That's right. That's right.
And so if we can coalesce around making the monkeys' lives better, we can combine our resources and we can get more monkeys to have better lives.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
That's true. Well, you know, well, here in Brevard County, we have elementary schools have over 80% or more of their kids on free and reduced lunches. Is that true? Some elementary
Sadly.
Schools?
Yeah. And honestly, there are a few schools that we serve that have 100% of their student population that are on the National Free and Reduced Lunch Program. With the 80%, a lot of the schools now are going to a model where once they hit about 80%, everybody gets free lunch, because it's easier for them to manage than to try to segregate out that 20% or 15% that aren't eligible for the free lunch. Everybody gets free lunch. Everybody gets free breakfast, and it's just easier to manage.
And that's government run, or is it charity based?
It is. That's all government run. The National Free and Reduced Lunch Program is run.
Thank
by
God
the
for that,
government.
Right? Like you said, we could launch a rocket. We could feed our kids.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we notice that childhood hunger leads to: weaker immune system, inability to concentrate, and so much more. And tell us a little. You've seen that firsthand.
Sure. And we get stories from teachers and parents all the time about how what we do is we put together it's about an 1,800 calorie food pack for these kids over the weekends, and the changes in their behavior, in their emotional stability, in their studies, and their just ability to pay attention in class is almost overnight improved, because they're getting proper nutrition throughout the week.
And I don't know if people understand this, but when you're a child and you're hungry and you're watching someone else eating a decent meal and you're sitting there with scraps, it does something to your mind, your heart, your soul. It's shameful.
Sure.
It's a stigma. I've been there. I remember when we were 18 children in our family.
Oh my God.
And I remember
what?
I remember going to school not having socks and shoes. And I remember, like, a simple thing as a brown bag. You know, my mother would reuse this brown bag over and over again, right? Sometimes it'd have a little hole in it, but you still have to use it. And some kids had these beautiful wax paper that they would wrap their little lunches. And that, to me, I wanted that wax paper too. Or I wanted a piece of foil. Or I wanted two slices of bread instead of homemade roti. You know what I mean? And I remember sitting there, and it did something to me. I felt like I wasn't worthy. You know, and I know there are children that feel like that when they go to school and they don't have a meal.
And I think that's natural. I mean, we all want to be like the Joneses, right, that live next door to us. But, you know, and I think we, again, for me, it's better utilization of our resources here in this county. There is no justifiable reason why kids should be going hungry here. We have 72 miles of beautiful coastline that people come from all over the world to see on their vacations.
So why do you think kids are going hungry, Keith, in Brevard?
Well,
of course, you can't fix all of that in a 15-minute program.
I think it's a complicated issue, and it's multifaceted. But the number one reason for me is affordable housing. Our lack of ability to build and sustain truly affordable housing in Brevard County is putting the families at risk. There are families that are spending 65% of their monthly income on rent. If you don't own a home, you're paying premium dollar for rent right now in Brevard County. And if you're spending 65% of your monthly household income on rent, if you're a single parent raising two or three kids, you don't have enough money for food, utilities, transportation,
insurance,
clothes, everything else that goes into raising a family. So I think we have to address affordable housing. Somehow, some way, somebody has to come up with a really viable, realistic solution. The other thing for me that's huge is affordable childcare. It's out of control in this country, and particularly here in Central Florida. And again, it puts these families in a really tough situation where they're choosing, if there's two spouses in a family and they're choosing whether the second spouse is going to go to work to pay for childcare or to stay home and look after their kids, it really...
I mean, it's almost $300 a week.
Yeah.
Sometimes a friend of mine told me a couple of days ago that what she pays for two children in daycare per month is more than her mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Just for a single person to live in Brevard County, they say $22 an hour would be the minimum.
Right.
For them to be able to afford a car and a place to live and basic utilities, not cable, not, you know.
Survive.
Just basic stuff.
So, and how many people make $22 an hour? Like, that seems like a lot of money.
Certainly that, you know, Walmarts and the retail places in town, they're certainly not paying that kind of money.
Yeah.
So how can someone get involved in the Children's Hunger Project?
So we have
like the name, by the way. Who came up with that name?
Not me, but the name is perfect. Logo is perfect.
It is.
It tells you exactly what we do.
Yeah, even if you can't read, you just look at the logo and it tells you what you're doing.
Our founder is Bob Barnes, and I truly believe that he was a marketing genius. And I think he constructed this to be very popular here in Brevard County.
Yes.
And it's worked.
We remember him. He came on the show when we first started. Yeah, so how can someone get involved?
So we have a website, www.thechildrenshungerproject.org. On there, there is a volunteer tab. You can click on there if you want to volunteer. All of our food is packed by volunteers. All of our food is delivered to the schools by volunteers. We work out of a warehouse that's donated to us, so we don't pay rent. So get involved that way. You can also make a secure online donation at that website. But come and get involved. We have volunteers that pack and deliver food, but we also have volunteers that come to our office every week and help us with sending thank you letters to our donors, helping us just get ready for the next.
And they help package the food and stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different ways to get involved.
So we all know the power of the vote, right? And we all know that the politicians in Brevard and all over the state of Florida understands childhood hunger. What is it? Where is the message getting lost that they don't see what you're seeing?
Well, I'm not sure they do understand it, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, and
I mean,
you're
passionate about, like, you sit with us in the studio for like 20 minutes, KG, and you care so much about the children, and you're the perfect person to represent the Children's Hunger Project, because I can feel what you're saying. You love the children.
Thank you.
And
you
need to sit down with the politicians and tell them, why do you think they're not seeing it?
So I think one thing is, unfortunately, in Brevard County, it's easy to go through life with blinders on. And if you live in Viera and you work at a financial institution and you have your offices in Viera and you get in your Maserati every day and you drive 5 minutes to work and you get out and you go to Starbucks on your way to work and you have an $8 cup of coffee and you spend $23 on lunch and $46 on dinner, it's easy not to see this, because that person doesn't get into Cocoa, doesn't go to Palm Bay, doesn't go to MIMS and Titusville and see these kids at school in their home environment where poverty is hitting. And I'll tell you, just last year I was driving to a school that we serve in Cocoa, and as I turned down a street I wasn't familiar with, there was an orange extension cord stretching from one house on the right across the street to the house on the left.
Sounds like Trinidad.
And honestly, yes, and this is in Brevard County, USA, and this is how these folks get their electricity, is by stretching an orange extension cord across the street. And that's happening right in our own neighborhood. And we've mentioned the Rockets, we've mentioned the beaches. Honestly, if folks really understood this, if our politicians truly understood this, we would fix this right now.
Yeah,
we would. There are plenty of resources here in Brevard County to make sure that no kid goes hungry.
Right.
And it's just a matter of us not prioritizing it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And if we want to fix it, we could fix it right now.
Yeah, well, you know, we all see the pictures of the children from other countries, and we feel sorry. And you go right away to the website and you donate, whether it's cleft lip or maybe they're getting peanut butter from the sky. But fix your own backyard first, right?
Charity starts at home. And we have the resources. We just have not come to the decision that we're going to make sure before I go to bed tonight, no kid is going to go hungry. And if we did that, no kid would go hungry.
Yeah, because what are the two pillars of any country or any community? It's education, healthcare, and feeding the children. Because the children are the future.
Sure.
I mean, people sing that song, you know, the children are the future. But do they actually sit down with the moms and say, how are you? How are you coping? You just paid for daycare. You just paid for mortgage or rent. You have to pay for, you know, water, electricity, medicines. How are you surviving? And then people like you come across and you see the children in the schools that are sitting there hungry.
And unfortunately, this is going to impact all of us. Even if you are that financial advisor in Vieira, this is going to have an impact on you if we don't fix it. Sheriff Ivey says, if you want to keep a kid out of juvie, make sure they have their basic necessities. Feed them. Like, that's number one. Because a kid that's hungry is desperate, and desperate people do desperate things.
Right. And, you know, the teachers know on a Friday evening which child is going to go home and not have food that weekend. And you all are helping and sending food home in the backpacks as well.
Yeah, so we deliver a food packet to the schools. The teachers can just take the food packet, slip it in a kid's backpack, a kid that they know is going to be hungry that weekend unless they get that packet. The kid takes it home. They've got food to eat over the weekend, so they come back to school on Monday ready to be successful. There's no paperwork. There's no eligibility requirements. It's the teacher deciding this kid needs help now. Let's get food in their backpack.
So how do you explain that to some people? Like, let's just have this image of this person in Vieira driving the Maserati. His kid is going to go to baseball practice, and daughter's going to go to dance lessons and piano classes and Kumon and Huntington Learning Centers. That child already has an advantage with academics.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep, absolutely.
And then you have the other child who's going home and not sure where the next meal is coming from. In the greatest country in the world, why is that happening?
Well, I think it's partially what we talked about, the housing, the child care. Look, there are parents that are making bad decisions. If you get hooked on drugs and don't feed your kid, you are a bad parent. And I don't know how to fix that. We actually partner with agencies.
I do. Snip.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would help.
It's called tubal ligation and vasectomy.
We partner with other agencies like the Family Promise of Brevard, where they help these homeless families that want to get off drugs, want to get off alcohol, and they put them through a program. But it's until the parents really understand that I don't want this for my life, I want a better future for me and my kids, we can't fix that. And I'm not smart enough to figure out how to
right.
do that.
It's hard to get into the human psychological mind and say, You have to fix this. But, you know, everybody needs somebody like my mom. My mom would look at people in our family who says, I'm pregnant, and she'll say, who's going to mind a kid?
Yeah.
Just that sentence alone sends shivers down your spine. Because when they say the word mind, they're talking about food, clothing, shelter, water, everything, right?
Well, and
but
love,
we don't have a nanny Raj for everybody in this country.
Well, what about love? Like, how many of these kids at home are not? We put a little inspirational message in every food packet we send out, just saying, hey, you're great. Have a great day today. Because they may not be hearing that at home either. They may not be getting any kind of emotional support and guidance to show to prove to them that they're okay,
that they're worthy,
that their life
has value.
It was eye opening for me when I saw the pickup line for the elementary schools where it had huge signs that said no texting, no phone calls. In the line, and it was like I was thinking to myself, I can't imagine being a kid and coming out to talk to your mom and dad about how your day was, and they're on the phone and sidetracked with texting somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, that's my time with them.
Right,
like,
right.
And you never think about that, but that's what's happening.
So, Keith, when are you going to run for office? You should.
I am not going to run for office
you know, he's like
because
me now.
I would be horrible and I would offend.
But you're honest. You know, but you know what's good? But you know what, though? We need people who have seen these type of situations. you could pass it on to other people who are running. But, you know, it's so sad when you think about the haves and the have-nots. That's what it comes down to, right?
It's truly. And, you know, again, like, how many millions of dollars do you really need to be comfortable? Like, you know, have 5 million, have 10 million, that's fine. But, you know, we were just talking this morning, your previous caller was talking about people that have $50 million plus. Like, how much of that do you really need?
You don't need it.
Take some of that money and give it to other people that truly need it. And let's create a balance in our country where we don't have the haves and have-nots. Everybody has enough to be content and comfortable.
And, you know, when you invest in children and you invest in healthcare and you invest in education, the people who reap the rewards are us.
Absolutely. It all comes back to us.
Because we are so reactive. We will spend for the linen in the prisons. We will spend for food in the prisons. We will spend when a child gets into trouble for a social worker and all this. Why not help people ahead of time before you start housing and clothing them elsewhere, right?
And that's exactly why we serve elementary school kids, is the impact on their lives is going to be greater. The sooner you tackle a nutritional deficit, the more great impact you're going to have on that child. We don't have enough resources to serve middle or high school students right now. So we chose to serve elementary school kids because these kids need our help now.
Yeah. And what's the website for our friends who are listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends? And they can find your events. They can go and help volunteer, donate, maybe partner up with you all.
Give us the website. And I'd just like to make one plug for that. The last time that you were on, I went on and donated. So mine automatically comes out of my.
Thank you so much.
So it's $12.50 a month.
That's it.
So simple.
To save.
And I get an email thanking me every month, so I know that what I'm doing, right?
Yes.
I know that it's going to the good place.
And what's the email? The
www.thechildrenshungerproject.org on Facebook, Instagram.
Well, you know, no child in this great country should go without food for a day, much less for 2 days.
68 hours from lunch on Friday until Monday morning breakfast.
Right.
68
and,
hours.
And yet still you see so many people at restaurants eating everything on their plate. Appetizers, main course, desserts, and then some, and not given a thought that maybe there's a child hungry in Brevard.
Right.
So maybe we should reach out to everyone and say, you know, today, or make a pledge to give, even if it's $5, or donate some time to the Children's Hunger Project.
Thank you.
And Ellen, you're going to put that on our website?
It's all on our website, as well as the show will be posted on the website, as well as our on-demand. You can actually get to it probably within a few hours, actually, usually after the show. But check out cedamediainc.com and find out all of our past shows, especially this one today, and certainly donate to the Children's Hunger Project.
I like what Keith said. You know, you have to put value on every child's life in order to reap the benefits of what the potential for that child to give back. And you do it by feeding them, right?
Absolutely right.
Go ahead.
So again, another great edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, folks. We'll see you next week with some more great guests.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.